Welcome to Infusion, Prophetic Moment Live Open Forum Radio Broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, Apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, Senior Pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Well, good evening. God bless you. God bless everybody.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Clarice Cheney. Amen.
Today we just bless the Lord, and we're honored to have a special guest with us to begin to speak in your hearts and in your minds, and those that are in ministerial positions. We pray that you listen, because today's service, and I call it a service because it's not just a broadcast. Our hearts is desiring is to minister that God may impart and to deposit in you. And so blessings. We got with us, amen, the senior pastor of St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, located in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, all the way on the north side, Bishop John E. Guns.
Amen.
Powerful man of God. And we're going to be discussing some things, and we're going to allow him to just minister to you, amen, out of his heart. And, you know, when we talk about the church state and the condition of the structure of foundation and building the community and what we need to be doing, especially as ministers of the gospel, and not only ministers of the gospels, but those that are part of the body doing what you need to do. And so we're just going to allow Bishop just to begin to minister out of his heart. And we pray that there are those that would hear and listen. Bishop Guns.
Amen. Well, first of all, to the Cheney, thank you so much for having me. Man, I'm blown away that you would invite me. There's a whole lot of brothers and sisters in this city that are doing phenomenal work, and so I appreciate it. Plus, I didn't know that Doc Cheney was sisters to my church administrator.
Oh, awesome, yes.
So that's like, this is like family for real.
Amen.
And but thank you for extending to me this invitation for the opportunity to be here.
God bless you, Bishop. There's a lot of things that are going around in the community, and I know that you are a voice and you have a platform in the city of Jacksonville, not only the city, but abroad, throughout the country. And the things that are being focused right now, there's a lot of things that are happening within the confounds, especially the northwest quadrant, and things like that pertaining to death and young people. You mentioned to me that you had to do a funeral concerning about a young man that got murdered, and we pray for his family, that God console them. What is the Lord ministering in your heart, the platform or what you need to do pertaining to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of wounded people in the world, not just in our community, but in the world as a whole. The world is very fragmented. And the church is trying to navigate its way around whether we are a business or whether we are a kingdom community. And while I believe that we need to have business sensibilities and expertise, we are ultimately a kingdom community assigned to the transformation of people. And if the church gets wrapped up in trying to own more, possess more, and we lose the assignment of impact and transformation, we will negotiate our message to attract people who are not serious about change, just simply want to be entertained.
So are we compromising pretending to? I know the commission to the church, to the body, is to go and compel them to come in. Do you see a lot of compromising when it comes down to commercialism? Ministries are becoming commercialized other than, and we're not trying to tear down no church. We know, and I say this all the time, if we could have more churches, then let us, because there's more sinners in the world. Amen. But what do we need to do as a body?
I think we need to refocus on the assignment of the mission of Jesus Christ. It begins with the book of Acts, and in Acts, the church in Acts 2 was deeply committed to fellowship, to prayer, to the preaching of the gospel, to the discipleship of those who were saved, and to creating a culture within the church whereby as someone is converted, they enter into a place where they are equipped and empowered and enabled to go out and become transformational agents in the earth.
That's good.
It's interesting, in Acts, the church was scattered, and it was the no-name people who had impact.
Mm.
It was people who didn't have positions and titles and influence, in quote, but people who actually sat under the teaching of the apostles like yourself, received the message of Jesus Christ, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then was released into the earth as seeds being scattered into onto soil, and they planted and they grew and they thrived and they impacted, and then ultimately the kingdom began to spread, and the message of Jesus Christ became so powerful until it reached the seat of the emperor. And we need the emperor to hear the gospel.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Because discipleship. Talk a little bit about when it comes down to a lot of the Christendom. We don't believe that we need to be in politics.
Yeah,
I have a different opinion on that. Yeah. What do you say about that, Bishop?
I'm not a very political person. I'll admit it. I'm not very good at it. Others are, but I'm a firm believer that the church needs to be holistically engaged in culture, and we need to be influencing culture educationally, economically, politically, socially. The church needs to be engaged in influencing culture. We do need Christian politicians.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about a negotiation of the message so we can have influence over the seats of power, but I'm talking about holding up the standard of the kingdom of God, maintaining with the integrity what we're called to do and be. And that means we will not be party affiliated.
Okay.
It means that we will not be Democrat or Republican. We will be independent.
Yes.
Because we will vote the conscience of the kingdom and not vote. And sometimes that's a challenge because the world is so muddled until it's really hard to sometimes be purely your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that, but it is because now you're dealing with a lot of dynamics. But ultimately, if the church is going to impact the world, we cannot run from any sphere of culture.
Oh, that's good. That's good, because we have to understand is that discipleship. The Lord has called us. When we bring them into the church, we're discipling them.
Absolutely.
And the bishop, he's speaking so gracefully. And what we have to understand, especially those that are pastors and those that are leaders, it goes back to our relationship with the master, with the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes back to implementing structure, foundational things. Mm-hmm. And I think what has happened is the structure of the body has loosened because now we're introducing and we're producing and manifesting those that cannot make an impact because they have not been infused.
I need you to be quiet.
Go ahead, Bishop.
No,
glory.
I have never thought about that. That it's gotten. What did you just say? It's got loose.
Yes, loose.
And now stuff is seeping in.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Bishop. Go ahead, Bishop.
That is diluting our ability to raise up people who impact.
Oh,
you got to give me some of that.
My God,
that right there is big.
Yes,
it is.
That's too much insight for one man.
Ooh,
that's too much insight. No, because reality is that it's been this slow infiltration of things that has diluted with subtlety.
Jesus, come on, Bishop.
It ain't even something we caught. And now there's a generation that doesn't regard us. It was interesting. I was watching this show on MSNBC. I'm addicted to Morning Joe, so that's probably my political thing. I'm addicted. I know my wife who's listening right now. Hey, babe. Hey, I know my wife is just probably sick of waking up to Morning Joe, right? But it was interesting. MSNBC is one of my favorite channels, so I was watching. They have this special about racism in America.
Yes.
Racism in everyday America. It was interesting, Apostle. There was no representation, Doctor, of the church, of the African American church on the platform.
Jesus.
They had Reverend Al Sharpton, but he doesn't represent the church.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
No. I mean, he's not a pastor. He doesn't represent. Yes. There was no voice from the church.
Mm-hmm.
There was voice from law enforcement, from corporate, and it was really built on Starbucks shutting down for the afternoon to do sensitivity training,
mm-hmm.
and it was no voice from the church. Mm-hmm. And I text one of my friends and I said, where are we?
Hmm.
And what has happened is the world has systematically muted our voice.
Oh, yes. That's good, Bishop.
And then it has merged us into their voices.
Hmm.
So all we're doing is legitimizing behavior instead of radically requiring behavior to line up with the word of God.
Amen. Yes. Mm.
Which means that when we try to reach a generation that is not interested,
mm-hmm.
we have no authority nor no integrity, at least not to them.
Mm.
So today, you know, the funeral of the 16-year-old, there are hundreds of kids there. I mean, there are a couple of hundred teenagers and young adults. You could tell where they come from. A couple of kids are standing at the altar. They came up for prayer to give their life to Jesus, but they were holding on to their weapon.
Ooh.
My wife was praying for a young man that was holding on to his weapon. And she said, is there anything you want to give Bishop? He said, no. So what's happening is they want change, but they don't want transformation. Because he came to pray, but didn't release the weapon. And I have grown frustrated watching a generation that is willing to die for nothing.
Jesus,
to die for nothing. I've done over. My wife just texted me and said, "Hey, babe, I've done almost 30 funerals of young men and children that were murdered in the last 22 years. That's not the statistic I'm proud of. And I've seen them come, and some of them I've recycled them, I've preached the service of a grandfather, a father, and a son all murdered within a block of each other within 22 years.
Oh.
I've seen the same woman walk in that church three times to bury a husband, a son, and a grandson.
Wow.
Something is strategically wrong that we got a ton of churches everywhere, but we seem not to have the impact we should have.
My God.
Oh, my God. That is, hallelujah, that is something awesome. And it is something weighty, because it takes us to understand the accountability and the responsibility. And you say, well, preacher, you have to understand this here. We're not authorizing Jesus as an authoritative figure.
Mm-mm.
We're authorizing platforms and we're authorizing people in positions and the fear of the Most High God, the reverential fear. I'm not talking about he's a tyrant because he loves his people, but the reverential fear of God. And so when young people begin to not to look at that authority, there's no discipline.
Yeah,
there's no discipline. And then because when you begin to have a higher power, not an anarchy, but a higher power, and you begin to submit to that, then there is character, and it becomes conducive to having the heart and the mind to achieve. And I think there's we're missing a lot of. You said something, Bishop. You said that there is no voice. And you mentioned there, and then the other thing I wanted you to recap on when it comes down to the power within the confines of the church, you know, we have all these churches everywhere in Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville has more church, but then we're not producing any power. There's no manifestation. And then because we're so divided, you know, when it comes down to that voice, years ago during the civil rights movement, you had Dr. Martin Luther King, you had all these people, but then suddenly you didn't see these voices to come out when there's a lot of entertainers. Yes, they're coming out. But at the same time, we need those that are in leadership, those that come together. What we need to do, Bishop, as a church, as a body, to come back. And I literally believe in prayer. I believe in the power and authority of prayer, coming back in prayer. What do we need to do holistically or Can we do anything that would divert all this killing in our African American neighborhoods?
You know, it's so interesting. I think you pointed to a real challenge, which is there is this very real spirit of competition and division that is painfully obvious to many of us. And then you couple that with the fact that we are unwilling to sit at the table and trust organic God ordained leadership.
Oh, Jesus.
My best friend, Bishop Derek Triplett out of Daytona, Orlando, once said something to me. He said, "Man, if you get to an opportunity or a moment before me, my assignment is to protect you so you can be successful, because in your success, it opens the door for others to walk through." I think the challenge is we're so busy protecting our own space for fear of yours.
Oh, that's good.
Until that's good. I am killing you while I'm trying to walk through my own door.
Talk about it, Bishop.
Here's the first thing. You two have opened up your own time for local pastors to come on.
Yes.
Who does that? Secure people.
Blessings.
You know, secure people do that. You don't see anybody that you invite on as competition. And so if I'm successful at something or you're successful at something, instead of everybody galvanizing to make sure that that works, what we do is we go back and we mimic it.
Yes.
To create a competitive component.
Yes.
And then we find ourselves working against each other. You know, I've got some very dear friends in this city, Rudolph McKissick Jr. and Diafra Thomas. I've got and John Newman. I've got some friends in this city, Eugene Diamond. I got some guys, and one of the things that I think that we're trying to do and that we have to do is that we have to become engaged in helping each other do the work we can't do it alone.
Yes, you know we can't do it alone.
You know, Lord is burdening us about. We've got this thing we're doing this summer called the Spot. It's at in Grand Park, and we got all these entities coming together, but we don't have any churches yet that's really engaged. And it's not that we've told churches, but it's literally like you know, we start trying to do this thing or do these things or be engaged in the community. And here's reality. I'm in the heart of a community where there's been no significant economic development in 50, 60 years. There's been nothing significantly done new in years. In my 22 years, there's been nothing significantly done. That's about government. That's about education. That's about economics. But it's also about spirituality.
Yes.
And so I think that at the end of the day, the church must become actively engaged. And so a part of it is going to be about collaboration and partnerships. It's going to be about us getting beyond these kind of barriers and boundaries that we've created because of our own egos. And it's about us understanding that we need each other. So if you're really good at something or you are strategically positioned, I understand I can't undermine you and see God accomplish his purpose.
Come on now. Yes.
How did 12 apostles work together?
Come on, Bishop.
Because and truthfully, the only voice you ever really hear in Acts is Peter's until you hear Paul's. So were the other 11 secure enough? When you have insecure leadership, you have constant competition.
Yes.
But secure leadership protects the body.
Yes.
And allows for the gifts to flourish. When we're pastors, we have to empower the people around us.
Yes.
You know, we have to empower the people. We cannot be micromanagers and build great ministry.
Yes.
And great ministry is not crowds and cash, it's impact.
Woo, Jesus, glory.
We're measuring the church by what by what Donald Trump celebrates as his monthly declaration of his genius, the job reports. He celebrates the numbers. Yes. He don't care nothing about whether the policies are affecting the country. Yes. He's celebrating the numbers. Yes. And if we're not careful, we simply celebrate the number.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, my God. Yes. Glory, glory.
But I don't pastor just the people in my church.
Yes.
I pastor that community.
Yes.
So the young man today was not a member of my church. He was a member of a church pastor by Pastor Jared Williams, who could not be in, who was not in the city today. And he and I talked, and the funeral was at my church. And so that was not my member today. That was, that family belonged to him, but because he's my brother, we did it together.
Yes. Hallelujah. That's good.
And the whole list that we got of all of these kids, he got a copy of that list too. His church got the same list of kids that we got. Because guess what? They ain't all coming to St. Paul. And I'm okay with that. Because when I get to heaven, God's going to say, let me show you the people you touch that you never never stepped in your church.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the people y'all are touching right now that will never come to your ministries, but they're being impacted by your voice every single week. This young lady who is managing the engineering, she doesn't even understand that what she's doing is impacting the world.
Yes.
Because we couldn't get this out if she wasn't doing her job.
That's right.
This is about the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It's not about us. Because as my mama used to say, everybody's a season. God has already determined who's next.
I think I might have to use that one.
Yeah.
He's already determined.
And those that are out there that are hearing, we're talking about coming together. There should be one state of mind when it comes down to commission. He commissioned the church. When they came together, and according to the book of Acts, they came together and they prayed concerning about each other, about the apostles. And we're not just talking about the emissaries, it could be anyone. And then the Bible say that they begin to talk about the glory of the Son and how we suffered because of the preaching of the gospel. And the Bible say suddenly the place was shooken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the shaking of the Holy Spirit, the set apart spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, it is shaken when we come together as one. We don't see the Shekinah. We don't see the Shekinah glory anymore because we're trying to establish a foundation. Bishop said it, kingdom, the kingdom of the Most High God. Yes. He's here. He's present with us. Let us come together and work together as one. And it's not about your church is bigger than my church. Bishop Guns, he has preached around the country and has a great platform. Didn't think it robbery to come to little old me and little old wife.
Stop. I'm so honored to be here. I'm just glad to be here. Stop. This is an amazing platform.
Amen.
And it's incredible. And for anybody who gets invited, you better get your happy hips over here at 6 o'clock because it is incredible.
Amen.
So thank you. You did not have to invite me.
Amen. Bless
and I
you,
appreciate
Bishop.
You.
And we appreciate it. And for having a person
and
of that
statue. And I need you to tell Bartlett to bring that roasted chicken.
Leave that pig alone because, Doc, you got, I know he's listening. That pork, that pig, that hog, or whatever you had, Doc, to leave that alone. Folk gonna get sick. But amen, he's a good friend of mine, amen. But at the same token, we need to come together as one, and we need to begin to produce and manifest the glory of God. And when we begin to make disciples, then sheep begets sheep.
Yes.
Not to, because if you're trying to, the young pastors that's out there, the young ministers, they see you, and if they see all this glamour, but don't, you cannot bring them to Jesus.
Yes.
You cannot bring them in a relationship. And so this is what we want to do as ministers of the gospel, as children of the Most High God, is to come collectively together. The Bible says, where there's two or three gathered in my name, there will I also be in the midst. I'm the purpose. I'm the reason why you're getting together. It's not all about you, my brother, my sister. I'm the purpose. I'm the reason that would manifest myself, because we can't produce soulish, relational commitment towards God. It has to become spirit. And what I mean by that is that we come soulishly committed to a church. We're a churchgoer and not a disciple.
Yeah.
And so therefore, we're not committed for the cause of the kingdom. And Bishop, you said take some more time, Bishop, to begin to minister to them. We get like 5 minutes and minister.
Well, I just want to encourage everyone to stay faithful. tomorrow I'm preaching about Gideon, and I'm preaching Enough is Enough, It's Time to Fight Back.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
And what I've been hearing this week, I actually had strep throat, and so I was quarantined for a little while. I'm good now. The bishop, I took all my medicine. Everybody, he just moved over. After all this good stuff I said about my brother, he just moved over.
I'm coming back.
You should have been praying for me. You just moved. Oh, Dr. Janie, I know that's your boo thing, but we need to pray.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he did that. So, but it was interesting. I was taking medication, and so the first day, now I wasn't one of these people really, really sick. My wife actually made me go to the doctor, and we found out. But here was the thing that was interesting. My wife came into the room and started spraying Lysol, right? I mean, it was just all over the place. And she said, I'm sleeping upstairs because I can't catch what you got.
Uh-huh.
So I'm laying there. And I wake up every, like the 2-3 mornings I was by myself, I woke up every morning at 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock. And one morning I woke up and I was by myself in that room. And the Lord said, it's amazing that when you become contagious, the first thing people want to do is stay away from you.
Mm.
He said, here's what's scary. If the church was really contagious, time people come in contact with us, they would catch what we have.
My God, that is so good.
That is awesome.
And what's scary is there's a whole lot of people who come to church every week, but the church ain't contagious.
Not contagious.
We gathering people, and a part of it, and I'm guilty because I get it. We feel compelled not to get into the glory, but to get out of church. So now it's about the. It's about the streamlined services. It's about this, about that, instead of the move of God. What if I need 10 extra minutes to lay at the altar and weep before God? The church has to return to foundation. You said it earlier. You said it. I mean, you dropped the seed and kept riding. We got to return to prayer.
Jesus, yes.
We've let the world make fun of prayer.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
We got to return to prayer. And we must become contagious again.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Because we've let the world quarantine us.
And you heard from the mouth of the bishop, we need to take earnest heed as a body. You know, we're all collectively one part of the body. But if we do not come as a collective, as a corporate in synergy, then we can always see this right here. Before you can be effectual, you must be effective. In order to be effective, you must be infected. And that's what Bishop was talking about. Let us come together. Let us come together and begin to work for the kingdom of God and begin to minister. Dr. Cheney.
Praise the Lord. We thank God. We thank God for you today, Bishop. You've been truly a blessing to it. It's an honor. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, God is so good. And we just thank God for you. Amen.
Thank you.
For being a blessing to many people today. Hey, hallelujah.
Yes, and he has. And hopefully this will not be the last time, Bishop.
Amen.
I hope not.
Amen. It is not. And we love you. God bless you. Until next week. This is Infusion with Apostle Americus Cheney and Dr. Clarice Cheney. We love you. God bless you.
Be blessed. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. If you would like to correspond with or contact this ministry, you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.